In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the only true and living God. Amen. You may be seated. Today in our text, Jesus is in Jerusalem at the pool of Bethesda. Bethesda, meaning house of grace. House of undeserved pardon. That's what grace is. Undeserved pardon. To this pool came the blind, lame, and paralyzed. In particular, Jesus came to a man who was lame. He had been an invalid for 38 years. Jesus asked him if he wanted to be healed. And the man, thinking that his only hope of being healed was to get into the pool, replied that he had no one to help him get into the pool. He didn't know Jesus to be the great physician, but he would soon know who Jesus was. Because when Jesus commanded the lame man to get up, take your bed and walk, the man could do nothing else but get up, roll up his pallet, and walk. So he did. About 10 years ago, I was serving as a 56-year-old vicar at a church in Middle Tennessee. I had been there for only 2 or 3 weeks when a woman who was a member of the congregation told me that her husband had terminal cancer. She said he might come with her sometime. A Sunday or two later, I was beginning the scripture readings during worship and looked up to see her come in the back door and head to her normal seat, her normal pew. We have our normal seats, right? A few seconds later, I saw a very thin man come in the back door and sit down beside her. I learned after divine worship was over that his name was Jim Ivy. I tell Jim's story this morning, knowing that Jim Ivy gives me permission to tell his story anytime it might help someone who thinks they have done too much to be forgiven. I have no doubt that there is at least one person here today who thinks that he or she has done too much to be forgiven. Only a few days after meeting Jim, I visited with he and his wife in their home. They were eager to attend adult instruction classes. She would come with him, though she was already an active and faithful member of the congregation. So we started the weeknight classes. My wife Cheryl and I would drive out into the country and pick up Jim and his wife. We met for 2 or 3 weeks in what was to be a 6-week session. From week to week, it was evident that Jim's condition was deteriorating fast. He had cancer all in his body, but mainly in his digestive tract. I should tell you a little bit about Jim. He was in his mid-60s. He had been all over the world as a merchant marine. He had been a cook and bartender in New Orleans. He had been in prison. He had lived a hard, fast life. But now the Holy Spirit was showing him his sin. And most importantly, the Holy Spirit was showing him his Savior. There is undoubtedly someone in this room who has lived such a life, or else I wouldn't be preaching this sermon this morning. If that is the case, this sermon is for you. If that is not the case, this sermon is still for you. Back to Jim Ivy. After about 3 weeks of classes, I told Cheryl one night as we were going to pick the Ivies up for class that I was going to ask Jim if he was ready to be baptized. His condition was worsening quickly. I was afraid he wouldn't live for 3 more weeks. We picked up Jim and his wife. I was going to ask Jim if he was ready to be baptized on the way to the church. About 5 minutes after we picked up Jim and his wife on the way to the church, before I could ask him, from the back seat of our vehicle, I hear Jim say, "Vicar, I want to be baptized." And then he almost shouted, "I want to be a Lutheran. I want to live by grace." I still get chill bumps thinking about it. Now remember that I was a vicar. I could only baptize in an emergency, like you or any Christian can baptize in an emergency. So since Jim wasn't on his deathbed yet, I notified my supervising pastor, and we arranged for a late Sunday afternoon worship service where Jim would be baptized. At the same worship service, Jim would take his first, and as it turned out, his only Holy Communion in this world. And the Sunday arrived before we knew it. Now, I'd already witnessed the difficulties that arise sometime when an older person is baptized, but I did not expect what would happen on the Sunday of Jim's baptism. To make a long story short, the devil did everything he could do to prevent Jim Ivy from being baptized. First, the pastor was delayed in arriving. Then there was the casting of fire at the feet of the baptizing pastor and an attempt to burn the church building down. I saw the fire shoot out from a baseboard heater that had not been used for months, maybe years. Firemen and fire trucks arrived and made sure that the building was safe. During all this time, when all of this action was going on, where do you think Jim Ivy was? Remember, this was a man who was dying with stomach cancer. I found out later that he hadn't eaten for days before his baptism because he could not keep any food down at all. So where do you think he was? And what was he doing during these 2 or 3 hours of turmoil? He was eating. Right, he was eating. We were having a potluck that day to celebrate Jim's baptism. For 2 to 3 hours, Jim Ivy stood at the food table eating, grazing like a sheep, never sitting down, never getting sick. Finally, Jim was baptized. No doubt the devil writhed in defeat and pain. He thought for many years that Jim Ivy was his sinner. But as it turned out, Jim Ivy was Jesus' sinner. Jim belonged to Jesus. All of the years of lame excuses, all of the years of lame faith, all of the lame, sinful things that Jim did were forgiven. Jim's lameness was healed at the baptismal font, just like the lame man was healed beside the pool at Bethesda, the house of grace. And then about 2 weeks later, Jim Ivy died. His wife told me that the Lord's Supper was the last thing that Jim ever ate. The foretaste of the feast to come sustained Jim Ivy into heaven. So it is with you. I preached the sermon at his funeral, though I was just a vicar. But no doubt, Jim was already feeding at the Lamb's high feast in heaven, grazing like a little lamb, munching here, sipping there, hungering no more, thirsting no more. There was so much good stuff to eat, so much grace to be had. He was truly at his eternal Bethesda, the eternal house of grace, which is the house of undeserved pardon. The house of undeserved pardon of God, with all the saints and with all the angels and with all the company of heaven. Jim was Jesus' sinner, as you and I are Jesus' sinners. No matter that your sins are like the sands of the seashore, they are forgiven in God's house of grace, where baptismal waters flow like rivers. God's grace is abundant, but it's never cheap. You can't, and here's a new word for you, you can't out-sin the forgiveness that Jesus won for you on the cross. It is not possible. No more lame excuses. Just repent and believe. Then, come join Jim Ivy and all the sinners who are now saints in heaven. Join them and a foretaste of the glorious feast to come. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.